Okay.
We have Ms. Campbell with us, so.
Okay. Do you want me to go ahead and take roll?
Yeah, I'll do it's 12 o'clock at the Scranton Board meeting. With us today from the Attorney General's office is Ms. Campbell, and also our board executive director, Ms. Dale Anthony. And we'll do roll call.
Okay. Dr. Sadluck?
Here.
Ms. Gollin?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Yeah.
Dr. Rubin?
Present.
Okay. We have quorum, and I'd like to note that Dr. Popio will be absent today.
All right. And that will bring us into conflicts of interest. And Dr. Rubin, you'll be recused on number 9. And with that, I will go through the civility statement. In accordance with the open meeting law, the board has a civility policy that prohibits any type of disorderly conduct that disrupts the board from carrying out its business. Those violence policy will ask you once to modify your behavior. If you do not modify your behavior, we'll disconnect you. With that, I'd like to move on to number 4A. And with the board's permission, roll 4A through U.
So moved, Dr. Rubin.
Dr. Rubin, second. And Ms. Anthony, can you do roll call?
Dr. Sadluck, you made the motion. Dr. Rubin, you seconded. Dr. Sadluck?
Aye.
Ms. Gollin?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Next, we'll move on to number 5, case A. This is case number 22-230, and this is Dr. Kelly Lupo, initial interview. And I'll have Ms. Anthony give us an overview.
Dr. Sadluck, members of the board, this is case number 22-230. On December 7th, 2022, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a complaint from DF, alleging respondent engaged in activities resulting in 6 felony charges of custodial interference. DF disclosed respondent is the mother of her son's child. Her son is CS. On December 9th, 2022, the board received a complaint from TP. TP is not a patient of respondents, nor does he live in the state of Arizona. His complaint submitted to the board simply alleges that respondent requested information from him regarding to CS and has nothing to do with patient care. In review of the information supplied by all parties in this matter, no evidence has been provided to support an arrest or criminal conviction of respondent. There is no allegation of patient harm. The one allegation made by DF was that Dr. Lupo provided several prescriptions for Premarin without seeing her as a patient. Upon review of the CSPMP relating to Dr. Lupo, there was no evidence to support this allegation. This matter appears to be a domestic dispute, and staff recommends dismissal of the complaint.
Dr. Lupo, any additional information?
No.
Okay. I'll make a motion to dismiss. I'll need a second, and then we'll need roll call.
I'll second that.
Dr. Spatt, your thoughts?
Yeah, I second that motion as well.
Any board members want to go into further discussion?
Yeah, this is Dr. Rubin. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I can't locate it anymore, but I believe there was one area, there was something where there was a claim that respondent Dr. Lupo had prescribed testosterone for her significant other outside of formal patient care. I understand there's no, with the Premarin, this potential Premarin issue, there is no CSPMP evidence of such, and so I'm not curious about that at all. But does any board member or Dr. Sedgwick, do you remember reading that somewhere? Because I marked it last night and when I went through this again, and I can't find it now.
I do recall seeing that, and let's ask Dr. Lupo. Dr. Lupo, did you, on the testosterone prescription, did you pull a PMP?
I never prescribed testosterone for him, no.
Okay. I saw something, Dr. Rubin. I just can't recall exactly where in the memo that was. And she's saying...
Yeah, Dr. Lupo, this is Dr. Rubin. Who's the him you're referring to? You can use initials.
CF.
Okay, thank you. And CF is the father of your son?
My daughter, yes. That's
oh,
correct.
Your daughter? I apologize. Yeah. Okay, see ya. And okay, so the claim was that you had prescribed testosterone, or maybe for a bodybuilding thing or something like that, if I recall. But there's you never did.
No, that's correct. I've never prescribed anything for him.
Would you prescribe testosterone, a controlled substance, for somebody who wasn't your patient?
No, they would have to be a patient, and I would never do it for a friend or family.
Got it. All right. Thank you. I don't have any other questions, Dr. Satellite.
Okay. Let me drop down to Dr. Campbell. Dr. Campbell, your thoughts?
Hello. I definitely support your motion, Mr. Chairman. Not sure if we want to just sound out to the complainant to give them an opportunity if they happen to be on the air this morning.
Is the complainant that filed this on the line? I don't think they're there, Dr. Campbell.
Wait, thank really? You, they're not there? Sorry, this is Dr. Rubin. I was just remarking my surprise. Please continue.
Yeah, I don't see them on the roster here, Dr. Rubin. So, and they haven't spoken up. So, if any board member has any other questions for Dr. Lupo, now would be the time. We have some motions out there. No other board member? I think we have a initial motion, and then we have a second that may have come from Dr. Spatt. Do we need any more discussion? We don't have the complainant, so maybe at this phase, I'll ask Ms. Anthony to do roll call.
Okay. And Dr. Sadlick, you made the motion to dismiss the complaint. I have noted that Ms. Gallen seconded that motion, and so I will do roll call. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Dr. Lupo.
Thank you so much.
Next, let's roll on to 5B as in boy. This is going to be case number 22-231, and this is with Dr. Choen. I believe she was on the phone earlier. Dr. Choen, are you on the phone? Yep, I see you.
I am on the phone. I'm the complainant.
Right. Ms. Anthony, can you give us an overview?
Yes. Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is case number 22-231. On 12/29/2022, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a complaint from AR, who alleges respondent caused immense and abnormal amount of pain and discomfort, end quote, while performing a pap smear, that the insertion of the speculum was only successful on the third try, and that the procedure caused bleeding that was, quote, dripping on the floor, end quote. According to the records, AR presented to SENM Medical Center, now Sonoran University campus, on 11/7/2022 for a pap smear. Chart notes state AR, quote, informed us that she is nervous and does not like getting pap smears, end quote, and that, quote, she has struggled with this exam in the past, end quote. According to respondent, a small speculum was used in the exam and that AR was constantly contracting her vaginal muscles and trying to withdraw herself from the speculum during the first attempt. Respondent had to withdraw the speculum and reinsert in order to visualize the cervix and had to hold it firmly in place because AR was continuously trying to back away. But that she was able to collect the specimen. Respondent describes AR as covering her face and crying with pain, and that respondent apologized for the painful experience and attempted to proceed with the bimanual exam, but that AR denied completion of the portion of the examination. Respondent noted a small amount of bleeding and spotting from the vaginal walls, and that this was normal finding. AR was offered a feminine pad to wear home. Records indicate the clinic contacted AR once the results of the pap smear were returned to let her know everything was within normal limits. During the subsequent phone call, AR demanded a refund. After discussion, the clinic agreed to refund the cost of the visit and the procedure. However, informed AR that the cost of the lab specimen could not be issued because it was done by a third party. According to the records and her reply to the board, respondent took measures to make the examination as comfortable as possible for AR. From the information provided, there is no indication respondent fell below the standard of care while performing this procedure. Respondent was aware of AR's admitted anxiety and having the procedure performed, but that AR did agree to have the procedure and sign the consent form. The only other option respondent may have had was to turn AR away and send her to another physician or clinic. The procedure was formed and AR did receive the lab results. In her complaint, AR is requesting a refund. However, she has already been provided a refund from the clinic. When asked to explain if she received a refund, she states the price was $100 for processing the specimen by the laboratory and the cost of the visit was $49. That she was credited $49 to use the lab fee, and she paid the remaining $51. She has paid a total of $100. Staff recommends dismissal of this complaint.
Thank you. Dr. John, can you give us any more data?
I can't hear anything. That anyone can hear anything?
She's muted. She doesn't.
Oh, okay.
Okay, there she goes.
Yeah, I've already provided everything and whatever I had in terms of medical records, and I have nothing else to say.
Are you still working at Southwest?
Yeah.
Okay. Is the complaint online?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'll just remind you, we do have a 5-minute rule, so I'll let you go ahead and participate.
Yes, I sent a detailed written paper that I submitted to this board. I would say about the doctor's response, yes, I don't enjoy having pap smears done, but they have never been painful. I had one done at that very clinic, and I had others, other places, and they're uncomfortable, but they have never been painful. I have never bled. I've never been sent home with a pad. There's never been blood on the floor. And also, it needs to be noted that I'm a cyclist, and I could not get on my bike for 2 days. This was abnormal. I also wrote on my document that I submitted to you that the doctor told me that she had used the correct size implement, that she used everything that was laid out on the table. There was nothing laid out on the table, and she continues to say that there was everything prepared for me with the right size instruments. There was nothing, absolutely nothing there. In fact, when they walked out for me to get undressed and put on my gown, I recall having to roll down the paper on the table because he didn't feel that somebody had already sat there. So I rolled it down, cut a piece of paper, and then threw it on the trash, and then I just sat on the clean piece of paper. So after talking to the manager of the office a couple of times back and forth, then she said that perhaps they took me to the wrong room, because clearly this room wasn't clean, and that the table was laid out in the other room, but the table with the instruments that were prepared for my pap smear. So when the doctor says that she just everything laid out on the table, that is not true. That is an untrue statement, because there was nothing there, and apparently they even have me in the wrong room. So there's a lot of untrue statements that have been made by the doctor. And although, yes, they refunded my doctor's visit of $49, I still ended up having to pay for the lab to process the pap smear, which I'm not okay with that. I don't think that I need to be doing that because of the experience that they provided. I did choose to have the pap smear done there because although they did give me the option to go elsewhere before, they have been the doctors that I have gone to for the last 3 years. So I figure, you know, I'll do it here. Again, I had one before. I can do the second one here. So I just stay in that clinic for that reason. What I'm hoping to get out of this meeting is not only to have the remaining portion of my money refunded, but some action taken with this doctor, because based on my experience alone, she's not competent to be performing this kind of medical exams. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, thanks, AR. Dr. Chong, before I turn it over to the board, anything that you'd like to respond?
Yes. Yeah, so I was not alone in this. I was accompanied by students, as well as my supervisor was there. So we had done all the preparation as best to our ability. The room was right. The room, I don't know why she's reiterating it again and again, saying that again and again, that that room was not right, because we have specific rooms for everything in here at the medical center. Gynae rooms have gynae tables. So they are specially designed rooms with specially designed tables where we bring the patients in for these kind of examinations. And the whole, the equipment was set according to her status. According to her small status, we had chosen a small speculum. So everything was done in presence of other people. So I was not the only one, because I am a resident. I work as a resident. So I have to respond to my supervisor, and they are there to supervise us. So we are not performing everything independently. So this is one part of the case, that this is not my private practice. And the painful experience, we have tried to explain her that the painful experience is because of her small status, her menopausal status as well, and the anxiety which she holds inside. So all contributed to her pain. So, and this has been explained to her by my supervisor as well. But I don't know what else to do. And also, I work as a gynae lab TA, like a teaching assistant, and I do these procedures every day, like on SPs, and there have been more patients that I have been seeing and doing the same things. And so it varies from person to person, in my experience.
Okay. And Dr. Chong, when did you graduate?
So I graduated in May of 2022.
Okay.
And I started my residency in September 22.
Okay. And you're primarily, your area of focus is gynecology?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to...
May I have another minute?
Just a moment, and then I have to turn it over to my board, but go ahead.
Yes, I just want to clarify that when she says that she does this all the time, when she walks in the room and they have me sit on the table in a certain way, after a couple of minutes, she's like, I should have positioned her differently. Oh, well. And that's a crucial part of my statement that I made, that I submitted in writing, because upon talking to the office manager, she said that she was new at this practice, and that some tables are different than others. So apparently I must have been her first one, because she did not position me right from the beginning, but she did not stop to reposition me. She just said, oh, well. And those were the exact words that came out of her mouth, which I stated on my document.
All right, AR. Dr. Rubin, let me start down on the roster with you, if you have some comments or ideas.
Sure. Hey, it's Dr. Rubin. Thank you. Hi, doctor. You know, I would say as traumatic as the complainant has said this has been for her, I'm guessing this has been just as traumatic being a resident and having been called before the board for this. And so I do have a couple questions for you. Actually, I just have one question for you. Can you respond to what the complainant just said about the positioning and the comment of, oh, well?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so we have to find the cervix. We have to look where the uterus is placed. So it can happen to anyone, not only to her. Like, we really have to reposition the patient as well as sometimes we have to change their position to have a better view. So this happens because uterus can be antiverted and retroverted.
What did you mean by, well, number one, if you did say, oh, well, which I don't know that you did or didn't, and if you did say, oh, well, was that referring to you were going to, oh, well, meaning it's no big deal, I can do this exam and we'll be just fine, and maybe the doctor will have to struggle a little bit, but the patient would be just fine, or you thought maybe there would be some trouble with the patient, or maybe explain the comment, oh, well, and let us know if you did or didn't say, oh, well, if you recall.
Yeah, firstly, I don't recall that I said that. Since she was contracting her muscles, the insertion was difficult, and which actually increased her pain as well. And then certainly I was trying to locate the cervix at that point.
How long have you, are you a first or a second year resident?
I'm a first year resident.
When did you start your residency?
In September 2022.
Got it. How long have you taught gyne lab?
So I started in October 2022. Yeah, during internship we had this gynae practice, like we were examining, and also I was a medical doctor back home, so I had this experience of gynae examinations.
Oh, interesting. Where's back home?
In India.
How long did you practice as a medical doctor?
For 4 years.
What, did you have a specialty or a focus?
It was general practice.
Got it. Did you perform pap smears or similar procedures in your general practice in India?
Yeah.
Got it. Did you do a residency in India?
I did graduation, yeah, in physiology.
Got it. Well, Dr. Sadalek, I don't really know that this falls under the purview of the board per se. I mean, it's here before us. What I do see is a depth of experience. I see somebody who has two doctorates two physician doctorates, who has what I would consider, even this young in the naturopathic career, a wealth of experience in doing these procedures. who is authorized and chosen by the teaching school and the teaching clinic, not only to teach Gyne Lab, but to represent them as a resident. We have testimony that she did the procedure. She knows how to do it. There was witnesses in the room with her. I don't have any other questions. I don't see any particular fault. I don't actually understand why the complainant is seeking remuneration for monies paid for the lab fees. A lab is a lab. The results, I assume, were given. I don't see any reason why Southwest College or the doctor would have to be responsible for lab fees. She's already gotten reimbursed for complaining about the procedure. At this point, I don't have any more questions. I am very open to making a motion for dismissal if the other physicians or board members don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Rubin. I'm going to run through with the rest of my board members. Dr. Spatt, comments, suggestions?
Yes. Is it possible I could ask a few questions?
Yes.
No, I'm asking my chairman.
Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Spatt. Try to limit your time, but go ahead.
Yeah, I just have a quick question to ask you, AR. So do you recall when you was having this procedure, how many people were in the room?
Yes, it was Dr. Shohan and two students, one on my right side and one on my left.
Oh, okay. And so when she was in there, was there any other supervisor with her as well?
No.
No, just, okay, so it's mainly just her and two students.
Correct.
I see, okay, all right. And then last but not least, I know it's been a while, but are you okay? I mean, I know that after you have pain, you make a statement that you have pain for 2 days, but how are you now? What's going on now with you?
Oh, thankfully, as far as I know, I'm fine. I am very hesitant to go and have another pap smear when I'm due, based on this experience, which that's concerning, because if I choose to not have another one based on this experience, I could be, you know, potentially putting myself at risk if there is something.
Okay. And I'm just I just want to make quickly. So what made you decide to go to SNM for this examination in the first place? I think you say something earlier and I missed it.
Yes, you know, I have been going to this clinic for about 3 years at least, maybe four.
3 years, okay.
Maybe four. I know 3 years ago I had a pap smear at that clinic. With another doctor who's no longer there, unfortunately. So they have been my primary care physicians for all this time. That's why I chose to stay there.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I don't have any other question for the doc because I think she's competent enough to do the procedure. It's unfortunate that this happened to AR, but other than that, what her explanation and so forth, I think she is competent to do this procedure. So I don't have any other question to ask. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Spatt. Dr. Campbell?
No questions.
Okay. And Ms. Gallen? Ms. Gallen, you with us?
Sorry, I didn't realize I was muted. No, I have nothing further at this time.
Okay. And let me go back to Dr. Rubin. Dr. Rubin, did you have a motion in mind?
Is Dr. Rubin, I move to dismiss.
All right. And I'll second your motion. Does any other board members have further discussion, or can I have the executive director do roll call? No? Okay. Ms. Anthony, could you do roll call?
Yes. And Dr. Rubin moved to dismiss the case. Dr. Sadlick seconded the motion. And I'll do roll call, please. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Next, we'll move on to six. You're welcome. Next, we'll move on to number six, review consideration and possible action regarding application for specialist certificate. And this is Dr. Katie Stage.
And Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, Dr. Stage was going to try and provide us with additional information. Unfortunately, she was not able to do so prior to this meeting. So I would request that this matter be tabled until the next meeting.
All righty. I'll make a motion that this number six, reference to possible action regarding application for a specialist certificate, we'll table this until probably is March, Ms. Anthony, that we'll table?
Yes, Dr. Sadlick, March.
Okay.
Second, Ruben.
Ruben, second, and then roll call.
Yeah, Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Ruben?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, we'll move on to number seven, review, consideration, possible action regarding potential substitute policy statement regarding scope of practice. I would suggest that I'll make the motion that we move into executive session for legal advice.
This is Dr. Rubin. Before I second that motion, I just wanted to say, Ms. Anthony, is the executive session information the same as we used last time?
Dr. Rubin, no. I sent out a different login. I can resend email that to you if you don't have it. It was sent out the same time. Yeah. So,
thank you.
So this is the first time we're doing this. So board members, I need you to log off of this call and log on to the executive session link.
Okay.
Okay.
Second.
Dr. Rubin, does everyone else have the executive session link?
This is Diva. I'm having trouble finding it. I see in my event calendar, but I don't know how to get to it.
Okay.
Okay. So what you do, Diva, you tap on it when I say join the meeting.
Okay.
You tap on it and this will open a different link and that's it.
Oh, I see. Okay. I've got it. Right. I think.
Hey, this is Beth. Before you guys do that, there was a motion to go into executive session. Was there a second? And then you need a vote.
I think Dr. Rubin seconded it. Then, yeah.
Yep.
And did
you
and
guys didn't hear me? But I will second. The board did not vote, but this is Dr. Rubin, and I did second it. But I will just confirm that I did second it.
Okay. Second. And I'll do roll call real fast. Dr. Sadlick.
Aye.
Dr. Ms. Gallen.
Aye.
Dr. Campbell.
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. And Dr. Rubin, I'll get that link emailed over to you.
Does anyone need any other assistance for executive that Ms. Anthony can text or email you about? Okay. So we'll meet in executive session.